Welcome to the Shiesty Show. I'm your host, Matt. We're back with another episode this week. We're getting it in. It's going to be, my fucking washer going crazy, man. You hear this? This is real time right here. This real time. Real time, real life coming from the slums. Yeah. Anyways, now back to it. We back to the Shiesty Show. I'm your host, Matt. Back with another episode. This is episode 32. We here. We had to bring it to you live. I wanted to take a little bit longer this week with the recap of things because of the Drake, J. Cole and the song that they had coming out. Of course, we're going to get to that. But definitely wanted to listen to it. I gave it a couple days of listening to really dissect everything and give my honest opinion on what I think about the situation and the situation for hip hop. So we ready to get to it, man. Episode 32, the Shiesty Show. It's your host, Matt. Let's get right into it. My mic was messing up a little bit, but let's get right into it. It's the Shiesty Show. So first thing I want to touch on is, of course, the Future and Kendrick song, Like That, I believe it's called. They have it labeled on YouTube as a J. Cole and Kendrick, J. Cole and Drake diss. So that's what they got it labeled on YouTube. I listened to the track over the last few days. I really love the beat. The beat was something new, something I haven't heard. A lot of these beats that come out nowadays, a lot of them sound the same. And this was something totally. I know they said that Wayne, I think, used this beat before, but the way he flipped it for this Future song on the album is great, man. That's a top beat for sure. And to let him and Kendrick get off on there was, you know, it was gonna be good. I thought Future brought it. You know, of course, with the style that he has, the swag that he has, you know, not going to be the most lyrically dynamic type of raps, but he's going to give you those slick raps. He's going to have the swag. He got the energy. And the hook that he put on here was pretty fire, too. I like the hook, too. And, of course, we get to K-Dot. From the moment I heard it, I thought it was good. I like how he caught the flow. He had different little spurts in the verse. Honestly, man, I just think this is great for hip hop. I think this is one of the best things that could happen because, honestly, if we look back to 2012, these guys have been taking shots at each other for a long time. They've been sending subs. At least Kendrick and Drake for a long time have been sending subs. And for the music heads, you can catch them when they're sent. You know, I think J. Cole, with him being a little more spicy lately, saying that he's pretty much number one right now. I don't think Kendrick liked that. And I think he's been watching from afar, keeping his eyes on everything. And now with Drake and Cole teaming up and going on tour together, I think he realized it was his time to attack. No subs. Everything was pretty direct. That's what I like, man, because when you send subs, the artists won't ever answer the question truthfully if they're asked about it in interviews or anything like that. They won't answer it truthfully. They'll duck and dodge, and that's why they send subs, because it's not really – it's if you really know what's going on behind the scenes, or you know what's going on in the music because they talk about it, only the real hip-hop heads are going to pick up on stuff like that. Other people just generalize it as rap and music and don't pay attention to the slick things that these people say. Jay-Z, they get it from Jay-Z. Definitely Drake, you know, he sends subs like how Jay-Z used to do when he was very active in the music game. You know, the only one he was really super direct with was pretty much Nas. But, you know, very slick with the talk. And he talked himself right into this beef, man. But like I said, this is something that's probably been brewing since 2012, 2013, Good Kid, Mad City. Whenever that album came out, after that, with the Don't Kill My Vibe, you know, you never really heard these guys work with each other, especially after the Control verse was dropped. You know, you never really heard them working with each other again, and, you know, slick little lines here and there. J. Cole recently getting into it with the first person shooter, And he's pretty right when he says, you know, first person shooter, fuck the big three, it's big me. You know, that's a pretty, that's a direct shot. And that's what you need in a good diss record. Even though I thought this was a, this is a counter right here. Kendrick threw out the counter. You know, like Canelo counters, De La Hoya, nice counter. You know, Mayweather counter. He threw out something to see who says anything. If they come back and respond, I do think that Drake and Kendrick will respond. I think they will both come out with diss records. I don't think they'll do it together. I think that's a little corny. I think they'll both do diss records back to Kendrick just because of the reason it's so direct. And for me, man, to me, the verse was definitely a lot more shots at Drake than it was J. Cole. The shots were more scathing, the ones that he sent. For all your dogs, you know, see the pet cemetery, you know, like Pat Cemetery, you know, it was slick, but it was very direct to who he was talking to. The Prince Mike Jack line was very direct. You know, Drake even has a song called Tootsie Slide that he references, says it was supposed to be about the moonwalk. So, you know, he's a very, very big Michael Jackson fan. And that line, he pretty much, you know, straight shot at Drake. And I just feel for Drake in the situation that happened last time, how he didn't really get to come back and counter the way he wanted to. Honestly, man, I think people are kind of counting Drake out, but I'm not the biggest fan of him in beef. I think Pusha T definitely washed him. But in this situation, I think he was kind of itching for another chance to prove himself, because he did it against Meek. He tore Meek's ass up, got him out of here pretty much. You know, they become cool again or whatever, but, you know, he definitely won that battle. But then he comes against Pusha T. Duppy Freestyle got very overlooked because of Story of Adidon was just so revealing. He couldn't beat that. And that's why I say Pusha washer, because he had something that just wasn't about raps. It was deeper than raps. He was hiding the sun, and in that situation, there was no beating that, man. But a lot of people overlook Duppy Freestyle. Duppy Freestyle, to me, was, when you go back and listen to that record, that is a very good record. It's a very good diss track. A lot of scathing blows that he puts in there about, you know, Virgil and all that, you know, leeches and serpents. You know, it's a very deep verse from him for Duppy Freestyle. So we got to see, man. I think he's been waiting and he's been itching because the Pusha T situation didn't play out the way he wanted to. And it's revealing in the music. You still him take, you hear Drake still take slick shots at Pusha T. You know, he had the Daytona line, your Green Daytonas or something like that. You know who he's talking to. The guy's album was called Daytona. Match it up. Not very hard to match those type of, you know, subs sent at each other. But at this point, I feel like he got an ego. His ego got a little hurt in that situation. And this is his time to prove himself. Just as J. Cole, because J. Cole's been calling himself number one. This is the time to prove yourself, because the other guy that y'all put in the big three with you, he's standing across the way with Future, and he's pretty much sent the shot and said, I'm not getting along with y'all. Fuck y'all. And let's get to it. So, you know, that's what I'm happy about for hip hop. It's really, this is a moment, man. This is a moment, because I know Drake and J. Cole are at a point right now where they can't sit back and say, oh, we don't know if he was talking to us. Like I said, the subs are out the window. From here on out, the subs are gone. No more subs. It's straight firing. And I think J. Cole and Drake were ready. And I think they had a feeling that he might step out. And this is the opportunity to show who's the best, man. Because I still think J. Cole went into first-person shooter saying, I got to have a better verse than Drake because I'm the best. And, you know, every rapper that goes into the booth thinks that way. I rap myself. And when you go in there, you don't want to have a whack verse. You want to have the best verse. And it's just a competition thing. And, you know, so This is the chance right now, because the other big rapper along with you guys is pretty much sent a shot and said, let's get it cracking. So, yeah, that's my recap of it, man. I'm glad this is the moment for hip hop. It's been too nice, too long. You know, the last time we had a good beef, I would say, is the Eminem, MGK back and forth. But other than that, it's been real quiet. These rappers love to play friends and then talk shit about each other on Instagram. But it is what it is, and that's my recap of it. Who do I think will win in this situation? So we got to set the teams here, because there was a line. Like I said, the way it's titled on YouTube is Future Metro Boomin featuring Kendrick diss J. Cole and Drake. That's the way it's titled. So that's the teams, man. We got Future Metro Boomin, Metro Boomin on the beats. You got Kendrick in the ring, man. And you on the other side, you got the heavyweights of Cole and Drake. So let's see. It's Royal Rumble time. Royal Rumble right around the corner, right? It's Royal Rumble time, man. I want to see it. And this is a moment for hip hop. So just take it in and let's enjoy it. Next on the list, I've been wanting to talk about this. I recently saw this too, so I wanted to take some time to take it in. I recently saw this too. Quiet on the Set doc with about Dan Schneider, Nickelodeon. That was tough to watch, because I loved to watch Drake and Josh. That's one of my favorite shows growing up. That's part of my childhood. And just to see that happen to him and the way he was handling himself in the doc, you could tell that it's still bothers him to this day, and it's hurting him and his father crying on there. You know, man, it was tough to watch, because these are shows that I loved, man. I loved Zoe 101. I loved Drake and Josh. I loved iCarly. I loved Victorious. That's all those kids right there were pretty much the same age as me. So while those shows were going on, I was growing up, and that was my childhood. And just to see things like that, man, happening to people that you liked and, you know, you admired from afar and got to grow up with. I see that type of just pain and shit that they were going through behind the scenes that you would never even know, man. Those shows were great. It was always funny, good times. And these people over here working with predators, being molested, even worse than that. So if you haven't seen that doc, it's pretty touching, man. It's you know, it took a turn for the worse, just because coming up, you don't see any of that. And then you find out what was really going on behind the scenes of your favorite shows and the people that you really like, and what money and power can do. That's what I got to say about it, man. What money and power can do can silence a lot of things. Because even some of the parents that kind of had an inclination that something bad was going on set, they still allowed the kids to show up and work for the chance to be a star. And, you know, that they need to be accountable too for some of the things that happen, you know. Them telling the parents to leave the room, and all the parents leave the room with their children and this lawyers. It's just some things were a little bit off about how people move when money and status is involved, you know. And it sucks that some people had to be victims. And man, it was tough to watch that, man. And shout out to Drake Bell, man. He's one of my favorite actors on Drake and Josh. One of my favorite actors, period, man. Honestly, I watched that show religiously. Every day I got home, it was Drake and Josh. And sucks to see that. And you know, hope all is well, and I hope all can be good with them in the future. And it just sucks that what made it even more disgusting about the situation is the guy that was a real big predator on the show, Brian Beck. If you guys haven't seen it yet, he's pretty much the one that, you know, did very horrible things to Drake Bell. And he was probably the worst one of all. And it's sad that he was able to go and do 16 months for rape, for very just horrendous things to this young man. I think he said he was only 15 at the time. Just do very horrendous things to this man. And 16 months, he got 16 months registered as a sex offender. And then went and got hired by Disneyland and made the sweet life of Zack and Cody. Now tell me this. This is the type of like shit that hurts, because Disney, Nickelodeon, big part of my childhood. Even to this day, I love going to Disneyland with my family. But just some of the things that like go on behind the scenes with stuff like this is just crazy, man. Just, and there was even a report that I read that Disneyland would even fly children to Epstein's Island. It's just, and they own ESPN. They own the sports. God damn it. Nah, but it's just crazy, and it makes you realize what really goes on in this world for, like I said, money and status. Money and status can pull a lot of strings for people. And sucks that innocent people get abused, taken advantage of. And it just, that was rough to watch, man. That was rough to watch. But hope all is well. Sad to watch, but that's the doc that I recently watched. Another one I started to get into that I haven't finished yet was the Jared, the guy from Subway. Damn, I forgot his last name, but I started to watch that doc too. And pretty just... Guys, that guy was always on the Subway commercials, and then you find out he's a fucking dirtbag. Damn, man. It's just shit like that happening in your life that you look to these people and then they end up being some scum on the bottom of your shoe. But hey, man, fuck. Sad to see that. Next on the list, we got sports. Let's get a little updates on sports here. Playoffs are coming up for the NBA. Hopefully my Lakers can make it in there, because, you know, my football team didn't make it anywhere. So let's hope that they make it in there. They're 38-32. They just came off a win against, I want to say it was the Sixers, I believe. Got to double check that. But coming off a win and, you know, doing our thing. Hopefully the Lakers can make it. Hopefully LeBron can get one more championship. That's what he's missing. I think if he can get one more championship for the Lakers before he retires. Yep, the Sixers, 101-94. I think if he can get one more championship before he's out of the Lakers organization, I think they will retire him, and I think they'll give him a statue. Right now with one ring, I don't think it's enough. There's too many people that have come to the Lakers. They're like the Yankees and get one ring. So I think if he could get one more ring, you know, he broke the scoring title in the Lakers uniform. I think if he can get one more ring and bring it home for the Lakers, I think they will retire his number and definitely build him a statue, you know, in Los Angeles. And that would be good. But other things, what else we got here? We got, I wanted to talk about the Steelers getting Justin Fields, and they got Russell Wilson, which I think is a great pickup. I think Denver gave up on Russ a little too early. And then I think for his first year, he didn't do well. I think that was to be expected. But then the second year, you bring in Sean Payton, and that just and that just totally ruined the chemistry with the team and everybody, and, you know, stop kissing babies. I think that all played into it for him. But I think there's no better situation. You can go to the Steelers. Mike Tomlin, he's pretty much been to the playoffs every year. He's been a coach, that's just outstanding, man. Never had a losing record. That's building a resume right there. So I think he went to the perfect situation. Not only that, you got a black head coach and a black head quarterback. I think they're gonna work very well together. They're gonna understand each other, and I think Russ knows that he's there for the next year or two to really get them to where they need to go, but also to groom Justin Fields, because he's the future for the Steelers. So I think that was a great pickup. I love the pickup the Raiders made. You know, we're still making moves. I didn't like the move of leaving Amik Robertson. That's someone I thought was going to be a Raider for a long time. Him and Nate Hobbs, I think, are the best, like, slot corners. He's a little undersized at 5'8", but Duke can ball, man. And that was one that I was a little sad that we let him walk. He went over to the Detroit Lions. So, congrats to him. You know, he's a baller, man. Amik Robertson, he had a game-winning interception against a team that made it to playoffs. Jordan Love, interception against Green Bay in the end zone to win the game. So, you know, shout-outs to him. Lions got a good corner right there. He's a good slot corner. You know, like I said, he's a little undersized to kind of play on the outside pretty to cover someone the whole game. But you put him in a slot, he's aggressive. And he's a baller, man. So, shout-out to him for what he's done for us. And good luck in the future. But that was a person that I was a little sad to see go. What else we got here? I think the Raiders, I don't know where Mike, let's see where Mike Williams went. I think the Raiders should pick up Mike Williams, man. If they let Renfro go, let's see where Mike Williams went. I think he's, let's see here, 10 hours ago. Oh, he's still, oh no, the Jets. Yeah, he went to the Jets. I thought that would have been good. I thought that would have been good for us to pick up. I think if he would have came to the Raiders, that would have took a lot of pressure off of Adams, because now you left Renfro grow. But you do have Trey Tucker. He balled last year for us. You know, he was pretty good, Trey Tucker. We lost Josh Jacobs. That, you know what, man, that kind of hurt. But at the same time, I think Zamir White did a good job to kind of ease out of the Jacobs contract, because he was going to want out of money. He was going to want a lot of money. And, you know, I just don't think the Raiders were willing to give him a big deal anymore. So it's sad to see. But one thing before we out of here. Ryan Garcia, Javonte Davis coming up, Canelo Munguia coming up. And then we also got Tyson Fury right after boxing Huslek. So for me, let's get into it a little bit here. Let's touch on some of these fights. I know I've talked about the Ryan and Javonte fight. Ryan, let's hope that his mind is all together and this is just all for show and he can go in and do what he do. But I want to touch a little bit more on these other fights. The Canelo Munguia fight, man. I like Munguia. He's a big dude. He's a big guy. I think he's like 6'1", 6'2". For the weight class he's at with Canelo, he's a big guy. So I think it's going to be a tough fight because he's Mexican. But Canelo has experience. It's basically like when he fought me with him. Canelo has experience, the timing. I think it's only a matter of time before he picks him apart. Now, what Canelo does next is what I'm really interested in. I have a feeling he wants to fight Benavidez, and he's going to make a lot of money doing that. But if he doesn't choose Benavidez after this Munguia fight, and it's some guy we never, you know, I'm not saying Munguia hasn't been heard of, but he's not on the level of a David Benavidez right now, coming off two big wins. He's not on that level right now. So if he doesn't go after Benavidez or Bovo, I don't respect it. I always thought Canelo was a great boxer. I never hated on his skill. I just hated how he moves in business. You know, he did a lot of talking when Mayweather did this. He did a lot of talking. He talked a lot of shit about Mayweather picking and choosing and being a cherry picker. And he's pretty much following the blueprint, you know. He started with Triple G. He gave Triple G the first fight, which I think he lost, but they gave it a draw. How many years later did it take for the second one? What, 2 years? How many years later did it take for the third one? Another 2-3 years by then. Triple G's 40 and you're 32? Come on, man. It's obvious what he's doing. You know, he had the rematch clause with Bovo. He talked about having a rematch. Didn't chase the rematch. You know, everyone, he said Benavidez didn't fight anyone. So Benavidez went and beat down Plant and, you know, pretty much showed that he can, you know, hold his own against anyone. You know, what was his next fight after that, after he fought Plant? I know he beat that guy down too. And these are guys that fought Canelo, you know. And I actually think that Caleb Plant did pretty good until he got hurt against Canelo. You know, so I think, I don't know, man. It just, this is what sucks about boxing is the politics that go on and why fights don't happen or they happen later than they should. Case in point, Pacquiao and Mayweather. And the last fight was Andre, someone that's been calling out Canelo for a very long time for the super middleweight title. He had a belt as well, I believe. Had been calling Canelo out for a very long time. And he pretty much beat down both of the top super middleweights, handed him a loss, and looked good to get a fight and hasn't been granted a fight. So, you know, and he says, Canelo says, I don't fight Mexicans. And then he picks Munguia, who is Mexican. Just a lot of politicking, and it sucks for the fans of boxing, man. And that's just my honest opinion on it. I don't like Canelo. He's a great boxer. I just don't like how he moves and the way he thinks in business, because he says he wants to be great, but he ain't showing it right now. And a lot of people are doubting him. Even to hear Andre Ward go on the Breakfast Club and pretty much put him down for the same thing I'm saying here. You know, everyone can see it, man. It ain't hard to tell. And then we got, after that one, we got the Mayweather. I mean the Mayweather. We got the Tyson Fury Usyk. That one I'm very excited for. I think what Tyson Fury saw Anthony Joshua do to Francis, I think he's coming to make a statement. May 18th, I believe they fight. I think he's coming to make a statement that he's the best heavyweight in the world. He's in shape. He looks good. I think he underestimated Francis and almost got embarrassed by losing to a UFC guy, and you're the best heavyweight. So I think he's coming with a purpose to fight Usyk. And Usyk is no pushover. He's beaten Anthony Joshua twice. Actually had Anthony Joshua crying the second time about he can't believe he lost. Oh, man. So, Joshua, I know you knocked out Francis, but come on, man. It's a UFC guy. I still think Fury is the best, but he's going to have a tough mountain to climb, but I do think he wants to dominate like he dominated Klitschko, like he dominated Wilder. I think he's coming to dominate and show I'm the best and leave no doubts. I don't think he wants Usyk to reach out and try to use his rematch clause, even though I think Usyk is a proud Russian man. I think he will, but at the end of the day, I don't think he will. I just think Tyson Fury is going to destroy him and really make a statement that fight. And that's what I got in my boxing news. That's what I got for my recap of the situation with Drake J. Cole. We'll keep our eyes and ears to it. This is the Shiesty Show, and we out.